Please mind me if I'm nervous. Last time I spoke to you at my bar mitzvah, and I read off the paper then, so it's easier. I haven't spoken here since. So, if I'm nervous, please. The Medrash in this week's parsha explains who is a Gebuy Rekoyach. The Pasuk says, Gebuy Rekoyach, Eisi Dvorim. Who is a Gebuy Rekoyach? So the Medrash says that a regular mitzvah, a person does one day, or for maybe a week, or for maybe a month. How many people do a mitzvah for a whole year straight? There are not many people who do mitzvah for a whole year straight. The Shemer Shmita, a person who owns a field, and he watches his field, and he watches his fields go get ruined, and he pays taxes, and he still keeps quiet. He's a Geburi Kirch. The person who can keep quiet after watching for a whole year straight, and not getting worked up by his field being ruined, and by his paying taxes for nothing, he's a Gibor Rekoyach. The Tanchuma also says a similar thing. The Tanchuma says, he says, a person sees his fields hefka, his trees hefka, his fences being broken, his food being eaten, and his kibbutz is this way, and he keeps quiet. So he keeps quiet, he is the epitome of a Gibor. He's a Gibor, which we say Gibor Rekoyach Eitz Dvoi. He is a Gibor. The Gibor is a person who, as Gedalia Shor explains, that when he sees the bad things, or seems bad, happening to him, and very hard, goes through a difficult time for a whole year of no parnasa, and all his fields going down, all his assets going down, it means all his fields getting ruined, and he still keeps quiet, and he has no questions. He is the Gibor. The Gibor is a person who doesn't ask questions on Hashem, and takes what Hashem gives him without any questions. He says that, we're talking about a person who he does with Menuchas Nefesh, he sits down and he learns, he takes with Menuchas Nefesh. Such a person is a Gibor. He understands when Hashem says, V'sivi says Berchosi, that I'm going to give my bracha to the Shem Yishmita, he understands it's talking about him, he's going to get his bracha, he's not going to lose out from it, and he doesn't stare him at all, it doesn't bother him at all, the fact that he is being Shem Yishmita and that his fields are being ruined. We find a similar point on the daf, today's daf, in Yumat Afchof Gimel. There's a brayso there that says, Hanelovim ve'inan ovim, which is those who hear their shame and don't answer back, okay, we'll explain. Shemim chaposon ve'im eshivim, again they hear the shame and they don't answer back. Isim me'avo smichim yisurim, they do the what's in Hashem, and they are happy with the yisurim that they get. The Gemara gives him a big praise. So the Chavidim explains, we've got three Madrigas. We've got Nalogim in an Ovim, we've got the Shemim Chaposon in a Meshivim, and the Isim Me'avod Smichim Yisurim. The first Dauga of Nalogim in an Ovim is somebody who hears the shame, someone embarrasses him in public, but he answers the person back, but he doesn't shtech the person back. He doesn't give him a shtech back. He answers him back to protect himself. But besides protecting himself, he doesn't shtech the person back. The shemim chaposim in meshivim is the person who's got shamed, he's embarrassed in public. He's publicly embarrassed, but he knows if he answers back, he'll get worse. He knows that it's not worth him answering back. So he just keeps quiet completely, he takes the pain as it is, and he does not answer back. The third madriga is the person who is isim me'avo smichim yisurim. When he gets embarrassed, then he thinks that that person was a shliach Hashem. It wasn't me. I wasn't the person. It wasn't him. He wasn't the person who was embarrassed for me. Hashem wanted to embarrass me, and I'm thanking Hashem for the yisurim which I'm getting, and thanking Hashem for the yisurim which he's getting. This person, the Gemara says, "Va'yavov k'tzitz Hashem es b'gvurasi." He's the one the Gemara praises. The Gemara praises all of them, but this one the most. The person who takes the pain and doesn't affect him at all. It doesn't affect him, he thinks the person is a shliach from Hashem. It's a similar point to the last point, that the person takes the resonance of Hashem, and he understands that Hashem wants him either to lose his parnasa or to to squash his for a year to have no panosa, and not to affect him at all. Here also, this person's getting a pain from external points, from somebody paining him, and he's happy that he saw him, and he's continuing life. There's a Meister, the Chofetz Chaim brings this Chavidim in Shmir's Loshen, and he brings in a footnote, he brings a Meister from Zalman Vlojin, the brother of Reb Chaim Vlojin. The two of them went together on a trip to an inn. And the innkeeper maybe didn't know who they were, I don't know, but the innkeeper embarrassed them, spoke to them very harshly, and he didn't give them where to sleep. He wouldn't give them where to sleep. So when they left the inn, Reb Zalman looked very upset. So Chaim told him, what's so bad? You should take these things lightly. You're a mamin by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why are you so upset? So Reb Zalman told Reb Chaim, I'm not upset because of what the person did to me. I'm upset because I felt a bit of pain. I didn't want to feel. I wanted to be at the Madriga of Nel Ovim in Ovim. I wanted to be on that Madriga, and I wasn't on that Madriga because I felt the slight pain. That's what made me down. I'm not pained by the pain, I'm pained by the fact that I was pained. That's what he said. That was a pain. We also find another Gemara, interesting Gemara, Gemara in Chulin Daf Peites. The Gemara says, Ein ha'ilam miskayim, ela b'shem misha b'ilam es atz moi b'shaas m'rivo. Shneem ha'teila eretz al b'limo. The world's only sustained by the person who holds himself back during the argument. That's what keeps the world going. The person who holds himself back during the argument, he's the one who keeps the world standing. So in one of the Gedinus, which comes out in Shul, in the East Desha, he asks the question there, that it's from Shol Alter. He asks the question that Misha Boidim, we're saying that the world's not Miskayim, Ela B'shul Misha Boidim, it's at Smoim B'shas M'Rivah. He's Boidim himself B'shas M'Rivah. We should say, Ela B'shul Misha Boidim, it's Piv B'shas M'Rivah. Someone who stops himself answering back. Someone who controls himself from answering back during an argument. Why are you saying Boidim, it's at Smoim B'shas M'Rivah? Boidim, it's at Smoim, he seems to be, he's stopping his legs, his arms, he's stopping himself. He's not stopping himself, he's stopping his mouth. And so he explains that it's not enough when a person gets fought against, a person fights against you, someone who argues with you, and it's not enough just to not answer back. Sometimes a person knows he's got five answers, he can answer the person, he doesn't answer him back, he gets the hanor of not answering back. He thinks, I'm getting him back, but not answering him back. The guy knows I can answer him back, and I don't, and that's how I'm getting hanor. Sometimes they get hanor from that. That's not the tachlis, that's not the spitz. The spitz not answering back is to not to feel at all the shlech, not to feel that person shlech to you. You meant to feel the shlech, you meant to feel Hashem shlech to you, not to feel that person shlech to you. So this person is the person who's boidim et atzmoi. He controls himself. He realizes that Hashem yotzar dovah, Hashem is the one who sent the shlech to him, and that maybe he needs to improve in some way, but it's not that person. He himself doesn't feel the anything against the person who's arguing with him. As he brings from David HaMelech, David HaMelech said, when Shimi ben Gera, when he threw stones at him and he did all bad things to him, David HaMelech said, Hashem amar lo kilel es David. Hashem told him to curse David. It's not Peshat. Okay, we normally understand Peshat that he understood that he was thanking Hashem, he was happy that Hashem made him get a klala. It's more than that. David HaMelech understood that it was a message from Hashem. Not just that it was what's in Hashem that he gets the klala. He understood that it was a message from Hashem, that Hashem was giving him a message to improve in some way. And that's why he was happy. And someone told me, someone went through a note to me, he told me that we have the same thing by Ezeu Giboyu, Hakribesh is Yitzvay. It should say Ezeu Giboyu, Hakribesh is Piv. Why does it say Ezeu Giboyu, Hakribesh is Yitzvay? The person's completely, he is controlling himself in a way that he doesn't get affected. The Yitzhar doesn't affect him. It's the sameness of Hashem. His Yitzhar does not affect him at all. As I heard a Maisa from the son of Ruben Kvelestein, Chizkio Yosef Kvelestein, it's called. This Maisa brought down some books with a bit of a change. They changed it a bit. But the Maisa, the way he said it, he heard it by the shiva of his father. So Chizkio Yosef Kvelestein says over that Baruch Horovitz came to his father, came to visit him when he was sitting shiva. He came to visit him, and he told him that 30 years beforehand, I think Ruben Kverstein must have been nifta somewhere about 10 years ago, and 30 years beforehand, his father was in America for 2 years. His father was in America for 2 years because he had kidney problems, and he went to America to the hospitals in America and hoped to get a new, fresh kidney. For 2 years he was there. He left all his big, he had a big family he left behind in America. I think the youngest in Eretz Yisrael and Iraq. I think the youngest was 2 at the time. And he was there for treatment and trying to get a kidney. After about 2 years of being in America, he was staying in Monsi by his Baruch Horowitz. And Baruch Horowitz suggested that he goes to, I don't know if he was staying in Baruch Horowitz, he was staying in Monsi. Baruch Horowitz suggested that he goes to Los Angeles. There's a hospital there in Los Angeles that can help him. So Baruch Horowitz went with Uwe Kredestein, this younger man, one soul at the time. He went with him to Los Angeles, and they arrived early in the morning, middle of the night, and they went up to the hotel room. After 6 o'clock in the morning, they get a phone call. Baruch Horowitz's wife is on the phone. Someone comes from upstairs, tells them to come down. There's a phone call by the desk. Baruch Horowitz's wife is by the phone. Baruch Horowitz talks to his wife, and Ruben Kredestein hears it's a very heated argument. Doesn't say anything, it's not his job to mix in, doesn't say anything. Next morning they're in the waiting room, and Ruben Kredestein says to Baruch Horowitz, he asks him, he says, what was that argument about? He says, I've got a feeling that maybe it's something I can help you with. You should speak it out, you should let it with somebody else. Maybe you can tell me what the argument was about. So he said, basically, Ruben Kredestein squeezed him until he told him what it was about. He said his wife called him and said like this. He said a few minutes after he left to go to the airport, they called us from the hospital in New York that they've got a kidney for you. They've got a kidney for Ruben Kredestein. And you've got 6 hours to reply if you want the kidney or not, otherwise passing it on to the next person. So we've got a kidney for Ruben Kredestein in New York. Now, Baruch Horowitz's wife said to Baruch Horowitz, he said, before you left, I asked you for your phone number of the hotel which you were staying in, and you told me that you don't need it. I'll call you when I arrive, I'll call you, you don't need it. And I tried getting you to tell me the phone number, and you wouldn't tell it to me. And now I spent the whole night trying to find out which hotel you were staying in. And now I managed to find out which hotel you're staying in. It's been 7 hours, the kidney's gone. Why could you not tell me the phone number for the place you're staying in? For the hotel you're staying in. Because of this, Baruch Horowitz, Ruben Kredestein didn't get his kidney. So when Ruben Kredestein heard this, he jumped up and started dancing. He started dancing there in the middle of the waiting room. Everyone thought he was crazy, dancing in the waiting room in the hospital. He started dancing, and after a few minutes he pulled in Baruch Horowitz and they danced together. And then Baruch Horowitz saw him going over to the payphone, and he called his wife in Eretz Yisrael. And he told his wife like this. He said that I'm eating a fish with Kasuda tonight, and I want you to also eat a fish with Kasuda tonight. I said, why? He said, because there was a kidney waiting for me in New York. That kidney was not good for me. If I would have been in New York, then I would have got that kidney. It was obviously not good for me. Hashem sent me the whole way to Los Angeles, put my gas in Baruch Horowitz's head not to give the phone number to his wife. It took us too long to be able to get hold of me, and therefore didn't get the kidney. As chasti Hashem, we have to eat a fish with Kasuda tonight to thank Hashem for arranging that I didn't get the kidney. This story is a point that we're saying, that he didn't get affected at all by the... He should have been livid at this Baruch Horowitz for ruining his opportunity. But he didn't go through that process at all. The second he heard about it, he jumped up and started dancing. He realized that Ratzon Hashem was... That was Ratzon Hashem, and that's what he did. Now, the similar thing is Farsemes. Farsemes brings... In Parshas Shmini, Farsemes says, by Vidim, Vidim Aaron... When Aaron kept quiet after he heard...
It goes further.
No, it doesn't. That's the book brings that part. He didn't say that part.
The one who got it, he died a few months.
That's what the book says, but he didn't say that part in his son didn't say that part. That could have been added in. I don't know what I'm saying. When his son said the story, which he heard in Baruch Horowitz, he didn't say the end part. So, the Sfas Emes says, by Yidim Aaron and Parshas Shmini, he says, it's not pshat that Aaron, after Aaron heard about Nodav Avihu, after Moshe told Aaron that Ratzon Hashem that Nodav Avihu died, it's not pshat that Yidim Aaron kept quiet and he just didn't cry. That's not pshat. Pshat is more than that. Peshat is, it was Vayidem Zoshen of Dal. It was Dal, he was Dal Mehocha, he was Dal Mehocha Avim Shanot Vavim. He wanted to take himself away from the feeling that he's a father, not a Vavim. He wanted to take himself away from the feeling that like a father, that his children, Lodin Wanifta. That's what he did. Vidim Aaron means that there's no Aaron here. There's no Aaron here at all. It's only Rosh Hashem. And that was Aaron's feelings at the time when not the view were Nifton that day. Now, on Shabbos, I went to visit Mishur Jacobson, father-in-law of Moshe Bergman, who was Nifton in Meron, and I asked him if there's anything he wants me to say in by Saturday. And he told me that this story on Lach B'Omer was mamash matzav of not the view. So it was matzav not the view. He said it was on the Heiliger day, it was on Lach B'Omer. It was on the Mokim Kaddish, one of the biggest Mokimish Kaddish nowadays that we can get to. It was as close as you could possibly get to the Kiva. He explained to me how, the Witler explained to him how it was the closest place it could have been to the Kiva. And it was Yom Simcha Slibeinu. It was a day when everyone was Simcha. And it was Kilu Hashem was taking away his Bekweve Kaddish. Bekweve Kaddish. Hashem was taking away his best people on such a time of Spit Simcha. And we can have the same thing here. There's loads of questions we can ask on how such a thing could happen. But we still got the same Bechina of Yidim Aaron. Not to let Shteres at all this. Not to have kashas on Hashem, and to understand that Me'is Hashem who is Hazif. Someone told me, someone saying details, that one of the people who were nifta on Friday on Thursday night Labima, one of them was called the sister of mine to tell them that her husband was nifta. She called them to tell her husband was nifta, and my sister just lit some candles, and she got through to her husband, and she didn't tell him. She didn't want to ruin the Shabbos. Once it was Shabbos, she didn't want to tell him. She didn't tell him. She could have told him, she didn't tell him. It was already too late. She was a mom herself, and she wouldn't tell her that her husband was nifta on Shabbos. She didn't want to ruin the Shabbos. These are, I'm saying, we're talking about the Gibur Yekoyach. Now back to the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin said that, sorry for the words, The world is mekayim to somebody who is boidem es atzmoi. He is boidem himself. He controls himself at a time of argument. So we asked that boidem es atzmoi means boidem es atzmoi. You should say boidem es piv, a person who controls his mouth, not a person who controls himself. He controls his mouth not to argue back. What's boidem es atzmoi? So that's an interesting chat. I once heard from my Shiva, C Kaplan said that there's one midah that when a person has this bad midah, every single part of his body feels it. There's only one midah that every single part of his body feels it, and that's kaas. When a person gets properly angry, I don't know if everyone's experienced this, but anyone's been properly angry, they understand. When you get properly angry, every single part of your body feels it. Your blood pressure rises, and the whole body, every single, your fingers, your toes, every single part of your body. They all feel the anger. If you don't understand, then good for you. Right. Anyway, the person who gets properly angry, then every single part of the body feels the anger. So this could be another possible shot. In the boidim, it's atzmei b'shas m'riva. The person boidim himself b'shas m'riva means he doesn't let his blood pressure rise. It's not just that he doesn't answer back. He doesn't let his blood pressure rise. He doesn't make his whole body feel the anger. That's a nice shot. I can say even better. There's a maisa that happened with a Maor Diskin. It's not a famous maisa. I saw it in a shiurim from the Meir Soloveitchik. He brings a maisa from the Maor Diskin. Now, it was in the time of Tsar Nikolai, who was brisk at the time. The Maor Diskin was rather brisk. Brisk at the time was in the Izur, was part of the Russian Empire. And Tsar Nikolai was the Tsar at the time. Now Tsar Nikolai was known to be an Achzor. He was a very wicked person. He ruled the whole country with an iron fist, and everyone, even the Goyim, was scared of him. There's some of the same shat actually in Hashem's Sfosai Tiftoch Ufi Yagid Tilasecho. It's a very nice shat. In the time of San Nikolai, San Nikolai was walking down, was traveling down a motorway, a highway, and he saw a beautiful highway. He was very impressed. He said, "Who was the contractor who made this motorway?" And he found out who was, and he gave him this chus to come and speak to San Nikolai. He had that was the present. The present of making it as a motorway, he had this chus to come to speak to San Nikolai. So he came to speak to San Nikolai, and he was so scared to open his mouth that his tongue froze, and he couldn't speak the rest of his life. That's how scared he was of San Nikolai. That's what achsa he was. He was so scared that his tongue froze and he couldn't speak the rest of his life. So that's what we say, Hashem tzfosai tifto chofi yagit tilasecho. We ask Hashem to open our mouth and let us speak. That must be so scared of Hashem that we shouldn't be able to speak at all. Our tongue should freeze in our mouth. So we ask Hashem to please let us have a... Anyway, that's San Nikolai. San Nikolai was achsa. I think even more. San Nikolai would kill someone every morning before he could eat breakfast. Just so that he can enjoy eating breakfast. San Nikolai was achsen. So San Nikolai sent a messenger to Brisk, a message from the Tsar. And all the nechbodim, all the heads of the city were all invited to come, all commanded to come, including the head priest, and including the Mao Diskin. And all had to come, and everyone who was there was shaking in fear. Every single person there was shaking in fear from Mao Diskin. Mao Diskin, from messenger of the San Nikolai, besides Mao Diskin. Mao Diskin sat there as if nothing was happening. And they asked him afterwards, one of the Tamidim asked him afterwards, he said, "How come you had the kriches to just sit there as if nothing was going on, not to be affected by, be scared?" So he told him a very powerful point. Mao Diskin told him that every single mitzvah in a person's body is connected a different eva. So you got Machi Vorm and Sagidim, and every single mitzvah is connected to one of the mitzvah say and mitzvah loy sase. Now his Yirush Shemayim, the Yirush Shemayim, he said, filled up every single Eva in his body. Mao Diskin said that his own Yirush Shemayim filled up every single part of his Sagidim and Machi Vorm. Every single part of it was filled up with Yirush Shemayim. And therefore there's no part of his body that could be scared. There's nothing, there's nowhere that could be scared. There's nothing that could shake. There was no part of his body that could be scared. Because it was every single part of his body was filled with Yirush Shemayim. That was the Maisa. Now we have to understand the Maisa. The Mao Diskin himself said that that the Sag Gidim Machi Vorm connected the mitzvah say mitzvah say. So one mitzvah is to fear Hashem, is Yirush Shemayim. So why was his whole body full with Yirush Shemayim? So Pshat is, very simple Pshat, Mr. Redding is, Pshat is that every single mitzvah, to do every mitzvah, you need Yirush Shemayim to do it fully. To do a mitzvah fully, you need Yirush Shemayim. To do it with b'chol tikto keho and kavanizel, you need Yirush Shemayim. But we normally understand that you've got a mitzvah of Yirush Shemayim, and you've got the other mitzvah, so you've got two mitzvahs, Yirush Shemayim and the other mitzvah. But the Mao Diskin is explaining to us that every single mitzvah, the Yirush Shemayim and the mitzvah, isn't a separate thing, it's not a separate mitzvah called Yirush Shemayim. Part of each mitzvah is Yirush Shemayim. So every single mitzvah includes in it a Yirush Shemayim. So that way, that way the Mao Diskin had Yirush Shemayim from all his sagginim and machibon. We find a similar thing also in by Amunah, by the mitzvah of Amunah. We've got a Gemara in Makkos, in the end of Makkos, that Reb Simloi said there were 613 mitzvahs which Moshe accepted by Har Sinai. Bar David v'midon al achadosa, David the Melech came and he channeled it down to 11 mitzvahs. Yeshayahu came and he channeled it down to 6 mitzvahs, Micha to 3, and Bar Chabakuk v'midon al echos shenema v'sadik b'mnosi yichir. Chabakuk came and he told everyone you can only keep one mitzvah. No, that's not pshat. Chabakuk didn't come and tell everyone you can only keep one mitzvah. Chabakuk came to tell everyone, no, so why did this happen to start with? This happened that when the Deiros got Shvacha, then they had to focus on a small amount of mitzvahs to get to Shlemus. As we're saying, that Emunah is a mitzvah which every single mitzvah has got a bit of Emunah inside it. Since every mitzvah has got a chedek of Emunah inside it, if a person who focuses on Emunah and does mitzvah Emunah fully, he's going to end up doing all the mitzvahs. Chabakuk came and was miyasted for us, and he explained to us that a person can take Emunah and can work on his Emunah in a way that every single mitzvah is will get to Shemus because of his Emunah. As we see that the mitzvah of Shemitah is connected to Emunah, is a person has to take himself back more as negias. And every mitzvah, I don't know how we can explain every mitzvah, but every mitzvah is connected to Emunah. So now we've explained that Emunah and Yirush Shemayim have got a chilek in every single mitzvah. They're connected to every mitzvah. So the Tanya says that the reason why we say kol kiyus ilo ibid the zohar. The reason why is because a person who is kiyus, why is he getting angry? Because he thinks that the thing that happened to him, he's angry with the thing that happened to him, the person who affected him, or the sibba that it was. He doesn't understand that Hashem sent it to him. If he would understand that it was from Hashem, that Hashem sent him the trouble that he's in, he wouldn't get angry. He'll get angry with Hashem. Who's going to be angry with? He won't be angry. Therefore, the person who is angry, the person who gets bekash, the reason why it's over the way it's always is because he doesn't have a munah in Hashem. It's very simple. He's lacking a munah. But we can say further now. Because we said beforehand, we've explained that the Yirat Shemayim and a munah b'Hashem in every single ave in a person's body. Every single ave in a person's body has got Yirat Shemayim and a munah from Hashem. And now we see even more. We just said also that a kiyus, if someone gets angry, also every single part of his body is affected. So it comes out, a person who gets angry, he's pushed out their munah and their bitachon from every single part of his body. So that's why a person who is kiyus is keep over the resolve, because he's pushed away their munah. He's pushed away the Yirat Shemayim from his body. That's why he's keep over the resolve. Now the question is, this is so that we're saying that munah and Yirat Shemayim have got a chilek in every single mitzvah, is that only by a munah and Yirat Shemayim, or is that also by other mitzvahs? So I'm going to make it short. Skip a few things. But the Zoya in Parshat Nosei says, I'm going to read out. Sorry, he says, V'chol man dekayim pikudah kadekar yos. Anyone who keeps the mitzvah, bidav zayin, like he should do. Anyone who keeps the mitzvah fully, ki'ilu mekayim v'mach pikudim dasei, it's as if he kept all the mach mitzvahs dasei, deles pikudah delav ihu kolom mikulei v'mach. Because there's no mitzvah, it doesn't include all the mach mitzvahs. So the Zohar says very clearly that every single mitzvah includes all the mach mitzvahs. Rav Shlomo Kluger and Lekuti Marich and the Ogel Gedaliel, all three of them explain that when we say it, when we put on tefillin, we say that Tini Mochum Zuman Kaim is tefillin. We say Kilo Kiyamti. We say Tariag mitzvahs are tefillin boy. It's Kilo Mekayin the Tariag mitzvahs which are connected to every single mitzvah. So we say very clearly, every single mitzvah we say, when a lot of mitzvahs in Shem Yichutz, we say, Kilo Kiyim, Tarek Mitzvah Tzulim Boy. So we see very clearly that Tarek Mitzvahs are Tzulim, every single mitzvah. It's very clear that they're Tzulim. But an amazing thing brought down in Shem Yemunim. And Shem Yemunim brings from a Sefer Shef HaTal, B'Shem the Ramak, in which they called the Bureau. The Ramak says that, he asked the question, now how is it possible the person doesn't have Bureau, that the Aveira makes a Malach? Aveira makes a Malach. Makes a bad malach. Now the bad malach has got shesag gidim machivorim. The bad malach has got all the has got is a full form. How can the avir, which is only say at the top tip of his finger, that eva is the avir, and he makes a whole malach? How can he make a whole malach out of it? So the Ramak explains that because every single avir is connected to the kol tira kula, and since every avir is connected to the kol tira kula, therefore when he's over in one avir, he makes a malach which encompasses has all the machivorim and shesag gidim. Because that's what Zavir has done. With this, we can explain the beautiful. I'm very happy with this chat. Someone who's not nizah and one mitzvah is someone who is consistently not nizah and one mitzvah, not careful about one mitzvah. He's a mumin adav echot. He's called a mumin adav echot, and we don't see him. He's a mumin adav echot, and we see him as being as a mumin adav echot. He's a mumin. So why is he called the Mumar of Echot? So the reason is because someone who consistently doesn't keep one mitzvah, it's not pshat that one mitzvah he doesn't keep to, he's taken away all the Tariq mitzvahs from him. He's taken away a chila from every single one of the mitzvahs. And that's why he's the Mumar of Echot. So with this we can understand the idea brought down in many forms by the Gaon and from the Arizal. The Arizal says that every single year has taken one mitzvah to be masmid the one mitzvah his whole life. He has taken one mitzvah, and that mitzvah he has to keep to his whole life. That mitzvah he has taken one mitzvah and do that mitzvah b'shlemus. And if he does one mitzvah b'shlemus, then he can get to, or he has a skula to get to a different schoitz. But doing one mitzvah b'shlemus will channel him to become to a shlemus degree. Now, which mitzvah is good to choose? It's interesting. The Gaon says that it depends on the last gilgul. It depends on the last gilgul. But how do you know what your last gilgul you're initial in? So he says there's two ways to know. One is the avir which a person does often, he knows that's avir is coming to him in a second. And whichever Aveira is desperate to do, if he's desperate to do an Aveira consistently, one Aveira is desperate to do the whole time, the person wants to eat Basar B'chol the whole time, he's desperate to eat chocolate, whatever it is, he knows that that's the mitzvah he's come to be Mesakon, and that mitzvah he has to Steigam and come to Shlemus. And just the Psalm of Kikoyin says that this is Pshat in commercially nimsa pasufem shovim pasuf ponim. Okay, he says the every single person's got his own thing to be misakon. No one's similar. And one last thing he explains, the ein adam oimed ad dibetira elin kein nichshal. When the Chazal say ein adam oimed dibetira elin kein nichshal, this is what he means. That person is only knows what he's coming to misakon if he's nichshal in that aveira many times. Then he understands that's where he's coming to misakon. And someone told me b'shem Rafal that he was Mekabel two mitzvahs to be Mekayim until the nth degree. One was Kibbutz of Eim, one was Shabbos. Those are two mitzvahs, Mekabel to Mekayim. Someone else told me another, I can't say who, another tzaddik who was Mekayim, Mr. Sitzis. Mr. Sitzis is Mekabel to do until the nth degree. He's got every single corner he makes into right angle, 90 degrees exactly. He's Mekayim completely, but he's taken one mitzvah to Mekayim completely.